Romans 3:19 says, "For we know whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God." Let me just go to, so this is still kind of remembering what he had been teaching a little bit. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read just one verse here in Timothy. Now, we said about under the law, and it says here in Timothy, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless, for the disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy, profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and for any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So that's what the law is given for, to make sin exceedingly sinful, it says, and to give sin strength, it says also. The law gives sin strength. And so what is that to do? To bring us to our knees to call out to Jesus. That's what it's for. So we're going to look at what Jesus has done. We want to turn to John 3. Hallelujah. One thing I struggle with, and I'm just going to confess this and get it out front, is there's a voice, or there's just like Thelsa, you use the same scriptures all the time. You know, this, you're a broken record, you know. But, you know, I think we eat pizzas every Friday night, and you Emirates eat potatoes, what, almost every day? And I'm like, it's good. You know, we don't, so I'm like, here's the word of God, okay? So I'm trying to, not come under that, condemnation of, you know, I've read these scriptures before to you. You know what I mean? I don't know if you ever feel that way, but I have to fight that. But this is good news. We want to start reading in John chapter 3, probably verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Very good testimony, very good confession. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen, and receive not, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So here is his answer to Nicodemus, how your person will be born again. Let me keep reading. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then it says about those that don't believe are in condemnation already. I had to think a couple of weeks ago, I ran across this verse in Peter. I'll just read it here. It's at 1 Peter 1:10. You can write it down. It says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come to you." I just thought that jumped out to me the other week, is that the people of old had prophesied of this grace and had searched they knew Jesus is coming and about, anyway, now we have it here, what Christ has done. So why do we have to be born again? Let me just read some scriptures why do we have to be born again and what is the result? Read some scriptures, to that might clarify and might help us understand. I want to go to, and you can turn there, John 12. So I believe here what Jesus is saying about being born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, that we are not the same thing. Once we're born of the Spirit, we are not the same thing. We're different. We're born of the Spirit then, because He makes a difference. So anyway, John 12, okay, you should see my notes, or actually you shouldn't. Okay, verse 24 says, "For John 12:24 says, For verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And we believe that He is talking about Himself. As He died, now we can be His fruit. And that's good. We can be His seed. We are His offspring. We are His children. That's powerfully good. Also, let's turn to Luke. That's what I want, Luke 9. So a lot of these scriptures are in my tablet from years of being blessed by them, and they're in all different pages and all everywhere. And so I try to just kind of earmark stuff and take stuff. But anyway, Luke 9. Let's see what this says. "Then there arose a reasoning among them." This is the disciples. They were been with Jesus for quite a while here. "Which of them should be the greatest?" Now we know this kind of reasoning is of the old man. Anyway, it said, "Then arose there a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him with them, by him. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is the least among you all, the same shall be the great. And John answered, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us." This is almost funny, but not really. "And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." I believe earlier, they had tried to cast out devils and couldn't. And then Jesus had to come bail them out. But yet, even after that, the the pride or their hearts were. So anyway, it's just amazing. So let's keep reading. 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. The Son of Man is not come to destroy lives, but to save. So they knew their scripture, but still had the, didn't have the heart of ministry, the heart of love. Amen. So that's why we have to be born again. Because we see that all changed. Let me just keep reading here. That all changed when they were, after Jesus was resurrected and the Spirit came and changed their lives. Hallelujah. And so we're in that same dispensation where we can be freed from the old and born of the Spirit and be led of the Spirit and have a new life. This is the good news. This is what our whole Christianity, our foundation is, or what the fruit of Christ's work is. Romans 5, we know that verse 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. So we didn't have to clean ourselves up. We didn't have to get to a certain place before he came. But he died for us while we were yet sinners. That's good news. We can tell that to others too. In Galatians 2:6, I had to think of Nicodemus. Jesus, when I read this, it says, but Galatians 2:6, there's a verse that says, I think Paul is writing, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So, what we have to bring to God, as far as we're not adding. We come as beggars, and He gives us. We make kings and priests. We're given so much, but He accepteth no man's person. So even the flattery. Well, even though Nicodemus' confession was sincere, I don't think he was trying to flatter him. That is done sometimes. Some people flatter to get their way, here's John 12:24-23. Let me read that. Jesus answered, saying unto them, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground, die, it abideth alone. If it die, it brings forth much fruit. So we read that. I had it written down here. And the fruit, I have here a kernel of corn. This brings forth 2 ears possibly. And it's after its same kind. That's what God ordained in Genesis. Remember when he said about every seed bring forth fruit after its own kind? And now that we're born of God, now born again is used here, and it's 3 other times it's used, because Peter says, for we are born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the word of God, which lives and abideth forever. Then he says, for all flesh is as grass, and goes on to finish that verse. So Peter's recognizing at the end of the book here that born again, born of the Spirit is one thing, born of the flesh is another thing. But anyway, so we need to be born of the Spirit, born of God. John, there's in the first John, there is six times where Jesus says, or where John uses the phrase born of God. And largely it says that you don't sin, or it's to, when you're born of God, you love. You love as God loved. That's the sign. And those are, there are six times that he uses that phrase. We're more than overcomers then. But I had to think, Joanne and I come from good stock, you might say, okay? But our children still had to be born again. Only what we do in Christ, like Paul named a person that was his convert, and he sees that as a spiritual, it's in my notes. You know, we can have fruit in the kingdom now. That's why that's the good news about what Jesus did. But let me just keep reading. I think my verses will maybe bear that out. Now, this corn seed will not produce unless it dies. After 3 days or 4 days, depends on how much moisture and how compaction, there's a seed that comes out. And I've already seen those seeds. The stalk's this high, you can uncover the dirt, and the kernel is there. Now, can I go get that kernel and plant it next year again? No. Even so, it says in Romans that Jesus died once to sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we are supposed to reckon ourselves likewise dead to sin. And that's a miracle. That's glorious. That's good news, because I know of myself, I can't die. But in Jesus Christ, it was finished. It was complete. We're supposed to reckon, even though it might not seem sometimes. My wife looks at me, oh, yeah, I might do something. But what do? Is the Word of God, which is more real, our experience or the Word of God? Are we like the children of Israel, where our circumstances dictate what we believe and what we feel and see and murmur? No. Hallelujah. That's why faith is the victory that overcomes the world, because we stand on the Word. It's more sure. Amen. Okay. Matthew 18, verse 3 is one verse. He said unto them, verily, verily, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. I have time, I think. Corinthians, let's go to Corinthians. There's quite a few scriptures that I can read there that I really, really love. 1 Corinthians 1. So they probably won't be all in order, all my verses, being they're on different pages, but they will kind of, hopefully at least add up to the same theme. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. A lot could be said here, because we know the cross of Christ was to bring death to the old. And Paul is saying here that if he comes with wisdom or words, there's a very sure possibility, or a very great possibility, that it would make the effect of what the cross was supposed to do of none effect. That's sad. Then let's keep reading. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. Hallelujah. Because we know that that's where the new beginning started, is when we were identified in his death, in his resurrection, through, because of Christ on the cross and resurrected. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Question mark. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Okay, so it's not through more learning that you get to learn to know about God, not through college or seminary, you know, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. In my mind, the Jews are larger to me in this state right here. It would be the religious people. I don't think we can stay here and say, well, that's, you know, just the Jews are struggling with this. No, I think there's a religious group. I'm not saying religion is bad. Pure religion is good. But Jesus had more trouble with the religious people than he had with the sinners, the harlots that were, you know, Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. But you had a problem with the people that brought her. But anyway, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we, okay, preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. So he goes ahead and just clarifies it, says what it is. So Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the religious. It shouldn't be, man. Lord have mercy. But anyway, it says it is, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, okay, Christ, the power of God. So we see it's not necessarily... I'll just keep reading. I can't explain what I'm thinking. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. We know that. Because of foolishness, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, amen, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So he's coming down the line. And the base things of the world, okay, getting a little lower, and the things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not. Lord have mercy. He goes into things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Hallelujah. I won't go into what all I think this means, but it's a blessing to me. Because why is this? Look at verse 29. That no what? Flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Verse 31? That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, us that have been experienced the goodness of God, the grace of God, have a testimony. So we want to glory in that. There was a time in my life I'd rather talk about coon hunting, rather talk about, you know, lots of things that we have, that we're good at, naturally, that we want to like talking about. But if we experience the grace of God, we want to talk about that. We want to share about that, really. And, That's because we've been changed. That's because, and let's focus on that, I guess I might say. Hallelujah. Okay. Yep, amen. That no flesh should glory in God. The things that are not will bring to naught. I mean, the things that are. No, the things that bring... Okay, verse 28. I'll let you mull on that. In Luke 22, so this is the latter part of Luke 22, 31 and 32. There's two verses, and Jesus is saying to Simon, he said, and the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So in this scripture here, he's considering Peter not converted yet. as of Luke 22:31-33. It doesn't say when you have repented. He says, when thou art converted, then you can feed your brethren. And we agree. I mean, it makes perfect sense that, well, what did he say about Nicodemus? He says about Nicodemus, no. About John the Baptist. What Jesus said about John the Baptist, he says, born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist, prophets, and none greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of God, okay, hello, is greater than him. So, this doesn't puff us up, but it just tells us we are in a time of celebration and great grace, and that we're his children, his sons. Galatians 4:29 says, "For as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit." And he says, even so it's now. Paul is saying that those that are born of the flesh persecute them that are born of the Spirit. That's in Galatians 4:29, in case you missed that reference. Let me go to another page. James says, of his own will he begat. Will begat he us with the word of truth. Hallelujah. That's James, maybe 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Galatians... got that crossed out. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:14. Quarter likes some of the same scriptures I like, so you get a double dose. I know he shared this one. It's good one to like, a good one to... 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, they that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. Wherefore, henceforth, as it says, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That's saying a lot. Okay, verse 17. Wow, what about this verse? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's something we can stand on. We can claim when the enemy would come, or when we are faced with a temptation, we can stand on these verses and claim them. And guess what? God rules. His word is sure. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. It's been done. And hath given us now. Okay, look at that. The ministry of reconciliation. This is we as his sons, as his daughters. We are spirit-filled. We are his children. Now we have that ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Amen. Lord Jesus, heal our broken marriages. Oh, Lord Jesus. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Wow, that's good news. is a verse I like, Philippians 3:3. It says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So he's talking of a present tense, we are, because of what, remember, it says in Colossians about what the true circumcision is, the circumcision of the flesh, the cutting away of the old. So Paul's saying we are. I remember when he ran across this verse, it blessed me so much. I called Brother Marv up and I was just yipping and hallelujahing about this, because so much of my mindset in my upbringing was trying to attain, trying to become, trying to get to a place. And then these verses here are just like, wow, hallelujah. So we just mix some faith in what we read, it makes us happy. Hallelujah. In Matthew 7:16, I like these scriptures here. Jesus is talking. He says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs off of thistles?" Matthew 17:16. Figs off of thorns. Verse 17, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." What's this verse got to do with my topic? Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if we, it just says it, matter of fact, some people are stumped at this person. They're thinking or looking at somebody who's a good person, but yet there's bad fruit and they're just stumped, you know, but if we'd see these verses here, Jesus said them. I just believe let's try to have the root good so the fruit can be good. Amen. And some people think that if they keep their fruit from ripening, we're okay. If we keep the fruit from anybody else seeing it, I'm okay. But Lord have mercy. Let's be honest with ourselves and let Jesus deal with the root if there is a root issue. Not a fruit issue, but a root issue. Amen. So that other scripture I was thinking of, I think it's maybe in 1 Corinthians 4:15, where Paul says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." We can do that. Paul did. And I had to think of that. Maybe I even shared that earlier, but a teacher will try to get this point across to a student 3 or 4 times. And if you don't get it, you just throw the towel in, you know. But a father is a lot more patient. He's Paul's saying, "Ye have many instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." Spiritual fruit. So spiritual fruit would take me to also to a verse in Romans 7. Let me read maybe 2 verses in Romans 7. Let me just start in verse 1. Some people really, I like Romans 7. Some people think it's negative news. Romans 6 is good news, and Romans 7 is then just a wrench in the gears. I'm serious. There's people that feel they see a Romans 7 as a wrench in the gears of everything that was so good in Romans 6. But anyway, let me start in verse 1. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." So we're, praise the Lord, we're glad that we're dead. Remember, we're dead to sin. We're alive in the Spirit. We're alive to God now. We've been born in the Spirit. So we are not on the law. Amen. We know that because the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We're already in Christ. So we're not under the law. We got that clear. This is common knowledge. Verse 2, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be loose, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now verse 4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. Why? That ye should bring forth fruit unto God. So we can have fruit unto God because we've been married to Christ. We're no longer the old flesh man. We're the new man. Look at verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, past tense, my teacher got across to me, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that now we should serve in newness of the spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Okay, let me keep going. That is all good news. I have written down here that I like the song in Rock of Ages. There's a phrase that says, be of sin the double cure. Cleanse from wrath and make me pure. So that's a double cure. Jesus did that. He took care of the old and he made me pure. I like to meet that songwriter. We have a dancing party. Hallelujah. Okay, 3 pages gone. Here's some verses about the cross, because this is what Jesus went through. And in Galatians 6:12, as many as desire to make a show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They don't want to suffer persecution, so they have you be under the law. They have you mix leaven into their doctrine. Otherwise, we're saying it was all done in Jesus. You can only get persecution when you say it was finished on the cross. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, I love this verse, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse Philippians 3:18 says, for many walk of whom I've told you often, now tell you weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So they are not benefiting. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. And it made Paul sad. He wasn't glad. It was sad news. Colossians 1:20, 21, 22, having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto him by himself, didn't need us, by himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I just read what I wrote down. I think there's more verses to that. But anyway, Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. He did it, having slain the enmity thereby. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, So that's how we, he's the author of our faith and he's the finisher of our faith. So we can trust in him who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father, throne of God, to make intercession, to minister to us. That's what is, we have a high priest. Hallelujah. First Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Amen. Blotting out the handwriting ordinance that was against us, took it, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I read that, or I just quoted that scripture by heart about Peter. That verse is in Peter, if you want the verses, it's in 1 Peter 1, 23 and 24, where he says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, the flower thereof falleth away. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Why? Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Amen. So that is... just part of the foundation of the, we saw why, we know why he had to go to the cross and then what he accomplished. And there's so much more. So yeah, I'm reminded of Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Remember how he had when he was tempted, he quoted scripture. So that's an example that we can do too. If we are facing something that has been defeating us, we can bring scripture into our life. The enemy has to flee, or we can be more conquerors, just as Jesus.